Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The dictionary describes catharsis as the process of releasing and thereby providing relief from strong or repressed emotions. I'm here to release my guests, and I think we can all agree that's the worst possible way I can phrase that. I'm acting as an unqualified therapist while they unload their pet peeves, old grudges, and unpopular opinions. We're sweating the small and big stuff. This week, I'm joined by comedian and Mock the Week buddy, R.I.P. Vale, it rests in heaven with the angels. It's my friend, Rhys James. But before I get into some Rhys grudges, it's custom for me to get something off my chest. And look, Easter's coming up. I just got myself an Easter bonnet. Well, I hit a rabbit with my car. Same thing. Lots of my friends are organising egg hunts. More later on how many are viable. Basically, this is a Trojan horse. Me using Easter is a way to talk about womb bothering. Because I don't mind having a conversation with friends and people that I'm close with about babies and what my plans might be and whether I'm having them or not. But somehow it still seems to be okay for general public and people you vaguely know to just ask when you're having kids and what your plans are. So I've always called it womb bothering. And I'm in my 40s now, so I guess I kind of thought that it would stop or slow down. But now people still do it. It's that they look at my womb like it's a car up on bricks. Like, you know, the MOT's about to run out on that. You want to get that down the garage. It's not going to see you through winter.
And some teenagers are graffitiing it.
Someone's keyed up the side of it. Yes, guest Rhys James, how often are you subjected to womb bothering?
Yeah, quite a lot. So I've been with my girlfriend for 10 years. And she's her the eldest sibling. So it's sort of, to be honest, it's not that overt, but there is some pressure. There is definitely right. Some pressure on us, and it's not going to happen. My boys don't swim, I assume. No, I don't know. I've had a laptop on my lap for the last 20 years. I assume there's something wrong with me. But we're at the moment not interested, and I think I'm not interested in general. Like everyone who has this feeling, I talk about it in my show. And my actual genuine feeling is I don't want a child, but I do want like a 20-year-old. I want to be like 55 and have a 20-year-old son or daughter to hang out with, which is the most creepy. I want some young friends. That's why they have to be my child, so it's not creepy. But that is,
I was gonna say, do you think that's what Leonardo DiCaprio wants?
That's all he ever wanted. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He just didn't want to have to raise them, you know. And I know there's boarding school and stuff for that, but you know, while having a sort of slight moral objection to that, I'm not really though, I don't care about anything. But that's why this podcast is difficult. But I can't be arsed with the boarding school thing and making my child one of those. Because basically, the problem is, right, the way to not have to raise a child but have an adult child later in life is to send them to boarding school. But if they did go to boarding school, I don't want to hang out with them.
Yes.
They're the sort of prick you don't want to hang out with. So there's no solution at the moment. Any scientists listening, figure this out. I need a way to do this.
So we can fast forward through years from, I don't know, 2 or 3
yeah.
to 16, 17. My stepson is 16 now, and he's pretty cool. He was pretty cool around 14, 15. So we've been quite lucky with him, but he is fun to hang out with.
Yeah, exactly. I just like, do you know what it is? Do you know where it comes from? It comes from a place of absolute abject arrogance where I'm like, my parents must think it's great when I'm around. Genuinely, I was like, I sort of thought about it and I was like, God, I'd love it if I was, if I had a son that was me at 31. I was just arrogantly thinking, yeah, I bet this is great for them. I bet they bloody love this. I bet they probably fucking hate it when I'm around. God, he's so annoying. But that's where it comes from.
Well, also, it's good when kids get older because then, you know, as you're getting older, when you want your life to be comfortable and extravagant, you know, if they're doing all right, they're going to look after you.
Exactly. What you want is someone who will pay for your palliative care, but you don't want to have gone to Peppa Pig World, basically.
That exchange. It needs to be a one-sided exchange.
Yeah, exactly.
I ask our guests to bring to the podcast an old grudge. So something that's been swimming around, unlike your sperm.
Wow. Do you say that every week?
In your subconscious. And that you'd like to have handled differently, or you just want to get it off your chest. So just hit me up.
Yeah. So I don't, it's weird this, because I really think I seem like someone who has 1,000 grudges. I think I carry myself in a way where I am weighed down by revenge desires.
Young Victor Meldrew.
Exactly. I just think people think of me as like, I've got a real resting bitch face. People think I'm judging them all the time. And it's not that I'm not. It's just that my memory's a piece of shit. So I don't... So like, yes, I get really angry about stuff in the moment and I hate people, but then I so rarely remember. So there's one when you said this that came to mind. And it's really weird. Basically, it's Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay?
Okay.
And not, it's not because of... They know that he's got beef with all the Swifties because he wronged Taylor Swift or something, something to do with the scarf, and it all kicked off. I don't give a shit about that, much as I am a Swiftie and I like Taylor Swift. Basically, there's a film called Love and Other Drugs. Have you ever seen that film?
Oh, no, I don't think I have.
So I can't remember the full cast. I think Anne Hathaway's in it and Jake Gyllenhaal are the leads, I think. I haven't looked this up again. But I went to see it in the cinema when I was about 14, 15. And it's about... this is a huge spoilers, by the way. If you want me to stop, I'll stop.
That's all right. I think the film's old enough that people cannot expect spoilers.
Exactly. As far as I can remember, it's basically about Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal sort of like have a lovely, wonderful... romance, and then she suddenly gets Parkinson's, basically early onset Parkinson's, and then it's like becomes like an incredibly sad, like really gut-wrenching film.
Oh.
And the reason I hate Jake Gyllenhaal is because, and this is why it's petty, right? Because it's got nothing to do with Jake Gyllenhaal the actor, basically. It's not even the part, it's the writer who my grudge is with. But so he is, Jake Gyllenhaal plays like a pharmaceutical sales representative who then goes out with this woman, falls in love with this woman who gets early onset Parkinson's, and it's meant to be like those two worlds colliding. But there's this scene in which it's really sad and I'm really touched by this film and I'm kind of crying in the cinema at 15 or whatever, and it's a time when you're really trying not to be vulnerable in front of anyone, and I am, and I've sort of opened myself up to this film. And then it just suddenly, like, they decide we need to put some comic relief in here. So he goes to a party, accidentally takes Viagra, and then has a boner and has to leave with a cushion on over his lap and sneak out. And it really was a rug pull for my emotions. It really fucked me off at the time. It really annoyed me. And I was like, no, you can't have a film that's about this, that is this sad. Imagine if in fucking The Pianist, it suddenly just turned into The Pianist and he was just like, he just came everywhere. He'd just be like, no, in Schindler's List, no one suddenly just slips over a banana peel. So, no, pick what fucking film you are. It annoyed me so much. And I blame Jake Gyllenhaal because he was the person... At 15, I couldn't understand. I mean, I could, but I was just, like, in the moment, lost. I couldn't be like, the writers of this are pricks, or the studio, or whoever gave that note that we need some light relief. It really fucked me off. So I just blame Jake Gyllenhaal to the extent I won't watch anything with him in it. I've watched one film with him in it since, which is Nightcrawler. And even though Nightcrawler is objectively a brilliant film, anytime it comes up, I say it's a fucking piece of shit and I hate it. And I couldn't enjoy it while I was watching it. I was literally watching going, well, this is obviously great, but thinking, but I hate this man. And then I love John Mulaney's Sack Lunch Bunch so much, his kids special on Netflix from a few Christmases ago. But then Jake Gyllenhaal fucking turns up as some music man singing a song. And I was like, no, anyone but him. This is so annoying. I hate this man and his stupid fake boner. I don't want anything to do with it.
Wow. You've got me thinking now about that bit in Philadelphia where they have a pie in the face moment.
Right.
yeah, it is a ridiculous rug pull to mess with your emotions. But as you have correctly identified, you are blaming an actor for someone's bad plot line. But what you've done is because...
blaming. Essentially. Yeah. He probably read it as well and went, for fuck's sake.
Well, here's the thing. It's because if you see something at that key age, I saw Terminator 2, I think it was, when I was about 12 or 13, or maybe I was 11. But anyway, I saw it. And so the films that you see at those sort of points in your life that are very, they end up meaning a lot.
Yeah.
But I think there's quite an interesting lesson in life in that, you know, life is a bit like that. You know, you can be crying about the fact that you've lost someone in 1 minute.
Wow.
And the next minute have a...
accidental boner.
Have an accidental boner.
You are right. But it doesn't matter that you're right. I mean, surely the whole point of this podcast... I know the whole point
for
is...
to just rant.
I get that it's catharsis and you're supposed to like make people feel better about those things. But surely the point of a petty gripe is that it... and a grudge is that it is irrational.
Yes,
and that it's I know that it's wrong. I already knew that it was wrong because it's not his fault anyway. And I know that I'm, you know, he's been in some good stuff and I'm, you know, costing myself by refusing to
watch it. Are you like, ah, there he is again? Because, you know, I have that about people, you know, like irrational. Actually, I think yours is probably rational in many ways. I think it's quite a rational, you know, if you watch something at a certain time in your life, it can affect you in ways. So you go, is this quite a rational... he just irritates me and he ruined this thing and it was just at the wrong time. He just crashed into your life with his boner pills.
In a moment of emotion, he tricked me and I didn't want to be emotionally tricked at 15. I was getting that enough.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it could have been anything else about Jake Gyllenhaal, so I'm intrigued by this. Do we know who the writer of the film was? And I wonder also as well, this is an interesting discussion about filmmaking in a broader sense, is it something the writer put in or is it something the director chose? I mean, maybe we should blame them all.
Holy shit. Okay, wait. I've just read something that is... it says here, on it's adapted from a book called Hard Sell, The Evolution of a Viagra Salesman. So if I'm misremembering, he is a Viagra salesman in it and then he accidentally takes his own Viagra and does that. So, but that sounds like the film was about boners and they put in the fucking Parkinson's. So it's the other way around. It was a comedy film. I should have been laughing the whole way through. And then someone went, the studio went, oh, get a bit of emotion in there. Fine, there's this girl he fancies and she's got Parkinson's. Done. It's completely the other way around. It wasn't we need some light relief. It's we need some tears in amongst these erections.
Right, yes. Okay, was it called The Hard Way or something?
Hard Sell, it was called.
Oh, The Hard Sell. Okay, right. So it does have the pun in the title. So maybe...
It's written by Charles Randolph, Edward Zwick. And Marshall Herskovitz, Charles Randolph, at least wrote The Big Short, co-wrote The Big Short.
Great film. Although I would ask, for the sake of equality, I want like a female version of that film, but about crypto, where a man describes crypto to me while his balls are floating.
Yeah.
And some imperial leather in the bath. I want the sexy man. I want the reverse of that.
Yeah, okay. Instead of the Margot Robbie explaining the markets. Yeah. Got it.
Just for fairness. So that's interesting. So actually, what we've done here is we've unpacked that maybe this shouldn't have been the film that 14-year-old Reese was going
this
to
is
see.
What I... yeah. If I'd known it was that... Actually, no. I was going to say if I'd known it was that, I'd have gone in, found it really funny. But I wouldn't because at 14, I was... 14, 15, I was so fucking precocious and pretentious and, like, trying to be a grown-up, as you so often are, that I would have been like, ugh, it's puerile. And I would have been like such a fucking dickhead. Now, if a boner, it's obviously hilarious. What I wouldn't give for one of those.
I was going to say, I think probably at the idea at that age, you're like, something could be wrong with you, your penis being hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, an accidental boner in public is no laughing matter. This should be taken incredibly seriously. This happens to a lot of us on a daily basis.
Well, thank you for sharing your old grudge with us. I think you should take... I mean, normally I sort of say, do you feel better after it? But actually, with something like this, I do think it's the pettiness of it is quite nice. So I think you should carry it forward forever.
Okay.
And, you know, like maybe just like have a picture in a cupboard that's got like a cross drawn through his face.
Yeah. Well, I've got a dartboard just over there, so I could just whack him up on the dartboard.
Whack him up on the dartboard. And then maybe one day you'll get to host SNL and he'll be the other guest star.
Yeah.
And then that will be, we can have an epic showdown.
Yeah, I can tell him all about it. And if he goes, he needs to say in the moment, I know, I hated that as well. If he does that, then he's forgiven. And if he doesn't, then all hell is breaking loose.
The ball's very much in your court, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, this section of the podcast we call Topical Cream. So it's a stingy news story that's got you all het up. Now, I say news, it doesn't have to be in the news. It could be something in the discourse. It could be cultural. It could be anything, but just something that's got you annoyed.
I don't know how interested in this you're going to be, but it's completely dominating my headspace and it's ruining my life. And that is that Arsenal are going to win the league. And it is honestly a fucking nightmare for me. And I'm trying to pretend that I don't care. And I'm being all like, oh yeah, whatever. And I am numb to football as a result. But basically, I'm a big Tottenham fan. I've made the mistake of making that very clear on social media. And also everyone I grew up with, every single boy that I went to school with pretty much is an Arsenal fan. And we're still in a WhatsApp group. And they just talk about, now they've been so silent on football for 6 years because Arsenal have been rubbish. And now all they fucking talk about in that group is Arsenal and just sharing Arsenal memes. And I really want to leave the group now, but then it will say Reece left and it will look like the pettiest because we're shit now. Tottenham are now shit and Arsenal are going to win the league. And like, so we've been their rivals for years, and it comes from the fact that they were based in Woolwich and we were the team in North London, and then they moved to be the team in North London as well. And then it became a big rivalry, exacerbated by things like a player called Sol Campbell leaving Tottenham on a free and going to Arsenal and winning the league, etc. It's been a rival for ages. And growing up, right, the rivalry was Arsenal are just way better, finish way higher than Spurs, win trophies, and Spurs are mid-table and quite crap. That's what it was like. I've had a season ticket since I was like 10 years old. We used to finish 10th, 11th. Then we started to come 5th and stuff like that. And there wasn't really much of a rivalry because Arsenal were challenging for leagues, winning FA Cups, and so forth. And look, we then tasted what it was like
glory
to be the better team. Nearly glory. That's the classic Spurs way. So we were the better team. We finished above them for 6 years in a row. Suddenly, the tide had turned. Times they were a-changing. And then we didn't win anything. We were in a title race. We were in a Champions League final. We were in a few FA Cup semi-finals. We didn't win any of these trophies. We just finished above Arsenal, got in the Champions League, and then didn't win the Champions League year after year. And now that era is over. Spurs are fucking shit again. And Arsenal have suddenly just emerged. And not only are they like, it's not like they're just finishing above us for the first time in 6 years. They're going to win the fucking league. A league in which Man City have been so dominant for years. Liverpool have run them close. And the Liverpool team that ran them close are way better than this Arsenal team. And City just don't care about it this year because they're, I mean, honestly, I watch City games now like I'm a Man City fan. The way in which I root for Man City, a team literally funded by fake money that doesn't exist. That is like, if they win, it is fake because it's literally science fiction the way Man City do their tax returns. So it's like, How am I now literally rooting for what is obviously is the villain just for this weird sense of loyalty? And I was at the North London Derby this year, and Tottenham being so shit has made me so numb to football at the moment that at the North London Derby, literally this year, I was like, it was just as the game was starting, the Arsenal players were coming out and the Spurs players, whatever, and all the fans were booing, just booing because the Arsenal players were there. And I just thought, I had an out-of-body experience for the first time ever at a football match and was just like, what am I doing? What are we doing? This is pathetic. Every single one of us is an adult and we're booing adults younger than us because they're really talented at something and they're more talented than the ones we like. And then I realised, what am I doing about even going to football matches? This is insane. I've spent 20 years of my life, 20 years worth of money as well, going to watch. I basically pay 80 quid a week to go and watch a play that I don't like, that I know is shit, all because in the 60s, my dad liked one of the actors who was in it. This is fucking
illogical. That is how we take it on.
Nonsense.
Yes.
What am I doing? What have I done with what? And what? But then I thought, well, what would I have done with that time anyway? I'd have just been a fan of something else that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about the communal sense and spirit sort of rarely happens. It's concerts and sporting events where lots of people gather together and become one voice.
Yeah.
That's almost like, if you are in no way religious, it's quite a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Or should I say, even if you are in no way. So sometimes it just feels nice to be part of a group of people pushing towards one thing. And you can't really have it with politics.
Yeah, of course.
So your only choices are like, you know, sport and music. Stand-up comedy. I mean, in many ways, we are heroes, Reece.
We are, with the footballers of the entertainment world. Well, what I will say, though, so the reason I became numb, as another thing I realised, is because, obviously, like you say, it's the tribalism, right? But it's a way to release all different kinds of emotions at once, basically, going to football match, because you feel everything in over the 90 minutes. So you feel anger and disappointment and sadness and jubilation, right, over the 90 minutes. But the way Spurs are playing now, I don't feel any of it.
Because you're just numb.
Well, nothing happens. There's no good moments where you can go even like, oh, nearly nothing happens. So you're just bored. So you're literally just going, wait, I'm not even getting that. I'm not, because I don't even get disappointed because we're going to fucking lose. We're shit. So I don't even get angry at the ref's decisions. I just go, yeah, whatever. Now he's just made me completely numb to it, which means I'm not even getting the thing. It was better when I was going every week and we were definitely shit and I was angry every week.
But also, when you know you're definitely shit and you've got that underdog because you haven't...
Right.
You had the hope of going, one day we could get near it.
Oh, but the
problem
is...
And then you did get near it. And then now...
So this is the problem. We're shit, but we're only shit within the category of good teams, right? Which means we aren't even shit enough that we're never expected to win. So when we do, it's really exciting. We're expected to win every game. And we just don't. So it's not even, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not even like, oh, it's okay, we're the worst team. We're plucky, Ted Lasso, what if we get a result? It's none of that bullshit. It's, no, we should definitely win. Oh, we haven't won. Right, I'll just go home then. There's no emotion.
You're in the mix. You're expected to do well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you're not doing well, it's like, well, they could have done better.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, that, it's the worst place to be. I'd rather be in a relegation battle.
Yeah, yeah. So you've, yeah, that is that, exactly that. A football match has, in the same way that a film does. Like, I often think films are to blame, going back to the Jake Gyllenhaal thing, of making us feel like we haven't achieved, because they have montages. So we watch a whole life in 90 minutes, a bit like football. We watch a whole life in 90 minutes and we've experienced every emotion in that. And then we're like, I feel like I haven't achieved, because I've just watched someone in 90 minutes achieve everything.
Well, exactly. And let me tell you, Tiff, if Harry Kane stepped up to take a penalty to win the Champions League and then suddenly got a boner, I'd be fucking livid. I'd be furious. Don't toy with my emotions like this, Harry.
Thank you for sharing your topical, stingy Spurs story with us. And I'm sure there's Spurs fans out there who are probably feeling the same as you right now. And Arsenal fans who are like, yes. And actually, that's what I was going to say. You haven't left the WhatsApp group. You're still in it, are you?
I'm still in it, but it's muted.
I think if you leave, you will look like you're a sore loser.
Yeah.
So you've got to stay in, but muting's the best way forward, because otherwise WhatsApp is like a constant interruption.
Yeah, definitely. And that group, my God.
Up next, it's unpopular opinion. So this is a thing that you love that other people hate, or vice versa.
Okay, right. I've chosen my moment to do this for you specifically. You're not going to like... Actually, you might, maybe you will, but it's literally the timing of this is not ideal.
Okay.
Marriage is fucking stupid.
No, I think that's quite a popular opinion.
Yeah,
actually.
I think it is a popular opinion amongst creative people. So everyone, we like in our echo chamber, it's a really popular opinion.
Yes,
but I think in the grand scheme of the world and the country, it still isn't. So, you know what I mean? Like outside of comedy and people who think for a job, everyone who doesn't think for a job is like, yeah, well, obviously you just get married at this age and then you have kids, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
But it's not basically, obviously it's like the whole, oh yeah, you know, it's a contract and that's weird. Yeah. We all know those arguments. My thing is that, my argument is that people don't see my relationship as serious a relationship because we aren't married. My argument is it is more serious a relationship because we aren't married, because I could leave so easily. The fact I don't makes it serious. Once you're married, there's all this paperwork and admin and legal fees. I don't even need to send a text. I can just fucking walk out the door and never respond to this person ever again in my life if I wanted to, but I choose not to.
Okay? I choose to stay. I choose to stay.
Out of love. And also, you know, it is a bit of hassle, isn't it? I don't have anywhere to go. But still, what I mean is, if we were married, right, and it was in a bit of a patch where I'm clearly pissing her off a bit, I would have in the back of my mind, she's only sticking around because it's too much hassle to leave.
Right.
But because we're not married, I know that's not true. She's sticking around because she actually still likes me. So this is fine. I can continue to be a dickhead.
I would agree with you on all of that. I mean, we were together, we've been together 15 years, coming up on 16 in the summer. So, and we only got married last year. And I've never felt the need. I'm like, oh, we love each other. So it's an active choice. It's an active choosing to be with someone all the time. And not to make it sound like admin, but there's various protections that come with the sanctity. But not in a serious way. But generally, as a rule, I do actually think there is more commitment if you're with someone and you're not married, because you are just choosing that person every day.
Yeah.
And you could go, oh, tomorrow I could just go. I mean, the amount of, I was about to say ex-boyfriends that I did leave like that.
Yeah.
My friend came around with her convertible one day. Like, we'd been sort of arguing about stuff, but I just like, he'd gone to work and I was like, I'm done. So my friend just came around, put the roof down on her car, and we just like piled all of my belongings in it. And when he came back, I was gone. And you can't
fucking
do that.
Old school.
Yes.
That's old school. Bring it back. It's like bullying. We need it. It just turns out society needs it. If you look at TikTok for 10 seconds and you'll go, right, we need bullying.
Yes.
Because shame has disappeared from society. And now everything is pathetic. No one gets embarrassed anymore. Everyone has this American way about them where they're just like, whatever, buddy, you do you. And it's fucking bullshit.
My cousin went out for a packet of biscuits and never came back. I mean, he was married.
Yes.
He was married. So
that is so fucking British. The stereotype is he went out for a pack of cigarettes and never came back. And your cousin got out for a packet of fucking hobnobs.
And then never came back. Yeah.
And never came back.
I totally agree. And I think shame as a concept, it was like, I think it reached an idea when it was like Kim Kardashian posted a naked selfie on International Women's Day and people were like, stop slut shaming her. And I was like, she posted the selfie. She's not being slut shamed. And it's International Women's Day. This isn't what this is about.
Yeah.
It's not International I've Got Nothing to Wear Day. Like, it's International Women's Day, you know. So it was like, it became don't slut shame, don't wealth shame became a thing. Like when they had the offshore accounts and stuff, you were getting like, don't wealth shame people.
Don't wealth shame.
Don't
so
wealth
funny.
Shame. Like, so yeah, we need to bring shame back. And you are right. You are right. It's a very old school. It's actually more romantic to say, I choose to do this and I choose to be with someone. So I sort of agree with your unpopular opinion there. And I don't want to say I got married for paperwork. It's quite nice getting married in your 40s because no one assumes it's a shotgun wedding.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that it's not a green card. Although, actually, that's when I do accept marriage, is for the baffling citizenship rules of different countries, especially this country, are insane. And the fact that you have to be married for that, I completely accept all of that shit. But what you're saying, though, is another thing that does annoy me. I know, I understand the logic of it, but like, I've always said this to friends of mine who say this, where they say, well, you should get married because it's easier to get the house if they die. Right? It's much more legally binding than a will if you're married in terms of getting the house in the event that your partner were to die. And I always say, that's fine if you want to get married for that reason, but those should have to be your vows. You should have to say that exact sentence at the altar. You should have to read out, your readings should be the joint tenancy rights and not Rudyard Kipling.
Well, also, that is one, but there's weirdly, and I guess because it was set up as a patriarchal, there's protections for women in there, weirdly. But also we have I have a stepson. So again, when kids come into and families come into the equation, there are protections that you are afforded. Actually, I hadn't even really, it's so funny because my now husband... I didn't say hubby because then we would have had to stop the podcast and I would have had to jump out the window.
This would have been,
But he was always much more like, what about if we sort of hinting? And I was a bit like, listen, I have big days all the time. I'm a stand-up. I get to have a day where I feel special. I get my makeup done. I'm a performer, you know. And I was never really as like, we need to do this, because I was like, we're basically a family. And we lived together. And then COVID happened and there was lots of talk about, obviously, if you've got older relatives, wills, houses, blah, 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 family rights, blah, 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 law stuff. And when we went to register the wedding, the woman at the registry office, she used to work as a journalist and then she lost her job. And then in the pandemic started working in births, deaths and marriages. And she said that she'd been with her partner for 20 years and they've got two kids together. She was like, we don't need to get married. And then since she'd been working there, she was like, you don't get any role on a death certificate of someone if you're not married. You don't even get spouse, which is a great word, by the way. I just say to Paul, shut it, spouse. Now on a regular spouse. Are great.
But how fucking mental is that?
Yeah.
This is so archaic.
Yes, it is archaic. Like... Yeah. Yeah, it's not right, but
you don't know where marriage began and why it existed. It was the reason it is a contract. We all know those dark secrets and reasons that it is, because it was, here's some cattle for your daughter.
Yeah.
Marriage only became about love like 150 years ago. It only became a romantic ceremony quite recently.
Yeah.
But all the laws are not based on that. All the laws are still based on the early thing of like, you are you own this person, effectively, you're connected for this reason. It just became a bit more slightly more gender balanced, not 100% gender balanced.
Yeah,
it's a fucking mental that this is still what it's all based on, because I am of the belief that marriage will die out slowly, because I just don't think Gen Z don't suit marriage. They've got no patience because they're all been on social media their whole lives, and they're all raised on never settle, so they all fucking quit every job immediately. This is true stats. They're just like out.
Yeah,
because they just told, like, you know, we know your worth, never settle. So I do think gradually there'll be the start of marriage sort of dying out slowly, except for gay people who've only just got marriage, which means eventually we'll be at a point when there is only gay marriage, and that is marriage, right? And so there'll then be campaigns for straight marriage. We'll just be in the full reversal of the whole situation now. There'll be protests.
Straight pride all
straight
over
pride
again.
Will actually make sense, yeah.
Who's going to do the costumes for straight pride? That's what I've always wanted to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's going to do the design?
Burton.
Burton's men's.
Burton men's.
Do Burton Steel even exist?
I don't know.
Avanti man at CNA.
Yeah, exactly.
We normally do a section that we call Oryx, which Oryx is a form of prehistoric cattle. So it's our way of saying old beef. So,
very clever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm nothing if not clever.
It's highbrow. It's highbrow stuff, actually.
It's highbrow stuff.
You've listened to all the really successful podcasts, right?
Yeah.
That's lowbrow stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poppadoms or bread, Rob Beckett banging on about parenting, fucking drivel, Peter Crouch and his wife. You don't need highbrow stuff. The public don't want highbrow stuff, it turns out.
Well, look, let's call it a row. An old row. Sometimes I pick something, sometimes I get guests to suggest, and you did say to me, have you done Adidas versus Puma, which is our historic beef. Now, interestingly, it may go into territory of another beef we've recently discussed, but I'll come to that. So this is the split between the Dazzler brothers, which,
yeah,
according to the information I read on Wikipedia and various articles, was to Herzer, and I need to make sure I say this place correctly, in Germany, was to Herzer Generac what the building of Berlin Wall was for the German capital, says local journalist Rolf Herbert Peters. Except that where the Berlin Wall fell 20 years ago, the antagonism between Adidas and Puma is still obvious to any outsider visiting the town. So you knew about this beef. You said to me, have you explored this beef? What do you know? What did you hear?
So I just knew that they were these German brothers who were big old Nazis. And they, I knew that, and they had a sports company together, and they fell out, and I didn't know why they fell out, but I knew they massively fell out, and then that was the whole driving force between the successes of Puma and Adidas, is because they were just trying to better each other. And obviously Adidas has won now, but it's like the reason these companies became so, Puma is still a fucking massive fucking company.
Yes.
So the reason these companies got so big is just a pure sibling rivalry. And it's like a really small town, isn't it? That place that you tried to pronounce that I'm not going to. It's a really small town. And that's what I knew in advance. And then I read an article and saw that it meant that they moved to opposite sides of a river in the town as a result, which I found very fun. It's so fairy tale that they used to, things they used to argue about were, Who is the more enthusiastic Nazi?
Yes, so this is where there's a crossover. We did the Mitford sisters a few weeks ago, and the big schism in the family there was fascism versus communism.
Wow! Like, okay.
And I would suggest that these girls, I mean, Unity Mitford might have been a bigger Nazi because she actually met Hitler and tried to kill herself when war broke out because she was so much of a Hitler stan. A Hitler stan? Can we say Hitler stan?
It does seem like it minimises it a bit. There's a combination of old and new.
Yeah, well, I would say stan in the old, in the very much, she was a fan. She literally, she would like follow him round. So she's had this sort of like hero worship for him. And so that was one. And then I read, so that apparently they argued over like who was the better Nazi, but also that it was sectarianism. Because Puma was seen as Catholic and Adidas as Protestant.
Yeah, so it became that big divide in the town, didn't it, or the village or whatever.
Yes.
Where it was like, you had to pick a side. Everyone in the town had to pick a side. And it sort of showed, it represented where you were kind of, politically, but also, you know, sort of religiously. And just like, it was just like, you're completely divided on these lines that are literally based on Adidas or Puma.
Yeah.
Which is just insane. Also, I like the fact that one of the brothers used his name as the company, and then the other one went, all right, Puma. His name is Adi Dassler, right? So he went, all right, Adidas. And then the other one was like, oh, you've used the Das. God damn it. So he just went, all right, Puma.
Adi Dassler does sound like rhyming slang for Bobby Dazzler.
Yeah.
Adi Dassler. So you got a three-stripe versus Puma's just the cat, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do think Puma was seen as quite, I mean, it's interesting because, again, we did a Coke versus Pepsi, and I did that with an American guest. And it's interesting what's seen as cooler outside of the place. Like, Adidas was always seen, when I was growing up, as, like, the cooler brand with no idea of, like, the historical background to it. Obviously, you just go, they've got three stripes. I want a pair of Sambas. Yeah. Whereas Puma were kind of almost like, you had Dunlop Green Flash and Pink Flash, and Puma were like a step up from Dunlop, and Dunlop weren't that great.
Agreed. Yeah, it was like that. But they've got, more recently, Puma have got, well, they just basically have done more to sponsor big athletes. And so they make the Man City kits and stuff like that. They like do a lot of big football teams, but they also have, don't they have Usain Bolt?
Yes, right.
And
Usain
like,
Bolt, yes.
Didn't I read that? They've got Bolt and they've got a few other like massive, massive names. Obviously, Adidas have loads of people. Adidas have Harry Styles. So, I mean,
yeah,
he's sponsored by Adidas to wear different gazelles on tour, on stage every night. And it did work because I bought some as a direct result of Harry Styles wearing them. But it's the only fashion from Harry Styles I will copy.
Yeah.
Because I don't look good in a dress.
Sequins?
I dress way too conservatively to dress like Harry. Even like the big flares, all of that sort of stuff. I can't. I don't have the tats and I don't have the pecs to dress like Harry Styles. But I do have the feet. So I can wear Adidas gazelles. But yeah, it's interesting that because there's like rumours. I think a lot of people don't know for sure where a lot of the rift came from. But there's rumours that one of them slept with the other one's wife. Isn't there this thing about...
Oh, one was better looking. That's right. Yes.
Oh, really? Which one?
The spat between the brothers. What started it as a point of contention. Town Chronicles mention it only in passing as internal family difficulties.
Yeah.
But the most common explanation is that Rudy, apparently the better looking one, had an affair with Addie's wife, Kathy, for which he was never forgiven.
Well, that explains why Adidas is more successful.
Right.
Because if you're the one who's good looking, who's banging the other one's wife, I'd say your revenge impetus is not nearly as strong as being the other one in that equation.
Yes.
So you're going to just be hell-bent on crushing the competition.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you can't really motivate yourself in the same way, can you? Also, yeah. You're too busy banging.
Too busy banging and looking hot.
Looking fit. Exactly.
Nothing exactly. to rage against. So in the piece that I read, it said many other accusations fly over who was the more enthusiastic Nazi. Both joined the party in 1933. You're both really enthusiastic Nazis, guys.
Yeah, I think you're fine.
Who's the better murderer? Like, I mean, what?
Yeah,
are you,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or who invented the screw-in soccer boot studs that helped Germany's national team secure its World Cup final victory over Hungary on a soaking
right.
pitch in Bern in 1954? Many also point to the night in 1943 where, I've got to say the town name again. And please, if you're a German listener, the reason I don't know is because I've literally read this place name for the first time today. So I'm just giving it. Herzogenaurach was under Allied bombardment. Addie and his wife apparently clambered into an air raid shelter to hear Rudy, who was already there with his wife and family, declare the Schweinhunde, pig dogs, are back. Addy insisted he had meant the RAF, but Rudy refused to believe him.
So he thought it was about him and his wife?
Yes.
Oh, the pig dogs are back. Rather than looking. So it's just basically, was he looking at the sky? Or was he looking
directly at his brother.
Or directly at his brother, yeah. The pig dogs are back. But even if he's looking directly at his brother, it could be sort of gesturing like, look, the bloody pig dogs are back. I think that's the pettiest one. If
yes.
his whole thing was because he thinks that he was talking about him and calling him a pig dog. Sorry, but if the reason that Adidas and Puma are so big is because a brother called another brother a pig dog, then there should be so many more sports brands that are enormous, because that is like quite tame between brothers, I would say.
Yeah, I reckon it was the shagging of the wife. I definitely reckon it was that. I think it was more likely. I think it's interesting because we often have spoken before about historic sort of beefs, the rivalries being this actually sometimes positive thing to spur the other side on, as in you get better at your work if you have someone to go up against. But
I think there's something I read, I think it might be in this article that you're reading, about how they did supposedly reconcile towards the before they died, but they wanted to keep it a secret because it would be bad for business if their employees knew that they were mates again.
Right.
So like going to that point of how much it's a rival will spur you on. They literally weren't rivals by the end, supposedly, but they couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah. That maybe that's like Spurs and Arsenal.
So you think they're best mates and all the Spurs players will be chuffed for Arsenal winning the league?
Yes.
Right. That makes it worse. That makes it significantly worse.
I've used your own logic against you.
Yeah,
I cannot
yeah.
believe I've done this. I'm supposed to be making you feel better, not worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the podcast, Reese. Before you go, do you have anything to plug? Tell us about what you've got coming up and where listeners can find you.
I'm on tour. You can see that if you like.
I like that there's a real hard sell there.
Yeah, you know, I think there's some tickets left in a few of the places. It's go on my website, reesejames.co.uk, for those tickets. If you care about football, which you don't have to, but I have a football podcast called Fit and Proper, which is basically people come on and take over a football club and then change shit. But not in a sort of champ manager, we're going to sign Mbappe or this young player. It's more like, I'm moving the stadium nearer my house because I can't be asked to travel. Or, you know, like Nathan Caton put a big bee's nest above the away fans. You know,
oh,
people
nice.
Do that sort of shit. Doc Brown just decided he wanted the football team to be a ruse for a military that would invade vulnerable countries. So, you know, people take some liberties with it. It's good fun. It's very funny. Check that out. And that's it, I think.
Yes.
I think that's it.
I am on tour as well. I will be all over the UK. In fact, my first date will have happened by the time this goes out. But the tour starts properly in May. So you can book tickets. Glasgow, Newcastle, London, Bristol, Bath, Cambridge, etc., etc., Manchester. Go check out my website, tiffstevenson.co.uk. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.